All right, let's look at this. 1 John chapter 5, verses 4 and 5. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our what? Even our faith. I want to entitle this tonight, God's M.O. God's M.O. M.O. standing for modus operandi. M-O-D-U-S. O-P-E-R-A-N-D-I, modus operandi. It has to do with what way you operate and how you've been designed or how things are designed to be or how somebody is operating, their characteristics or whatever have you. As you know, you and I, the first birth, we were born of husband and wife, or man and woman, are born by the seed of a person. And the second birth, we were born by the seed of the Word of God. That's found in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 23. And so now we're born by the seed of the Word of God. The first birth was more or less temporal. It was something in the natural, three-dimensional, physical world. But Jesus said to Nicodemus, you must be born again. You know, when Nicodemus came to him at night, you know, Nick at night. And you must be born again. And that born again, if you look it up in the Greek, it says born from above. So there is an above birth that you and I can have. And it's on another level called the eternal. Now, that's where Adam was before the fall. You can see nothing about how old Adam was in the garden and the reason why he was operating eternally. He was never meant to die. And so what happened, God told him, the day you eat of that tree, you shall surely die. Now, once Adam ate of it and died, he now flipped from that eternal existence and he was now locked into the temporal. So now the temporal became where he had to function. He was under the lifeline, I call it, into this temporal world. Temporal meaning something that's about matter or in this three-dimensional realm. So now Adam's down here and Adam's locked down here. But the problem is that down here in just the temporal world, it's a world of darkness or a world of only natural information, which you can call dark knowledge. It's only natural information. And Adam's got to function in that. The problem is there is a prince of darkness called Satan. And he now, Paul describes him in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 4, the God of this world. Now, where did he get that title from? He got it from Adam. Because Adam was the little g. And that's why Jesus came back over in John chapter 30. He said, didn't the scripture say that, John chapter 10, pardon me. And didn't the scripture say that ye are gods? Well, he got that out of Psalm chapter 82. And the Bible says over in Psalm chapter 8, talking, prophesying about mankind being restored again, talking about he's put man over all the works of his hands. Now, Satan is a work of God's hands. So we now, once we get born again, we're born in another realm. And from that realm, we're born in this earth, but we now have eternal life. And one of the reasons why we have faith is faith allows us to access what's in the eternal. Now, y'all gonna stay up with me, right? All right. Faith allows us to access what is in the eternal realm. Faith causes is not only a spiritual force, but is a substance of things hoped for. It's the evidence of things not seen, and it can go into another dimension and access what is already given to us and bring it back in to this three-dimensional realm. Faith can do that. Faith is the way of accessing back into the realm that man first lived in. Is that all right? All right. Now, faith is a higher law than time, because time is not in the eternal. Time is only in the temporal. And when you get into the eternal, you get into the realm of God, and in God, there is no time. So faith operates above time. So it's a higher law than time. So faith declares when something will be, and time always submits. Faith declares when something will be, and time always submits. David said, "This day shall the Lord deliver you," come on, "into my hand." Notice what happened. Israel had been warring with this man Goliath and going back and forth and him hurling curses and so forth for 40 days. But here comes David, 17-year-old, who understood the covenant and how it worked, and got up there, and next thing you know, operating by faith, began to declare some things. Notice what he did. He said almost 5 times what he was going to do to the giant before he ever got there. Why? Because faith always declares the victory in the middle of the battle. Faith always declares the victory in the middle of the battle. Now, how many battles do you win? All of them. And you are more than a conqueror. Every battle you win. So faith always wins. It never loses. If somebody says, "I have faith," and they have no proof, it's a fake. It's not faith at all. So what we have to do is get real faith, not the sense knowledge faith. So if we go over to John's gospel now, and John chapter 20, and just go over there with me. John chapter 20. Now remember what he says, "The just shall live how? By faith." Now that is saying that faith, 24 hours a day, 24/7, faith is used as a lifestyle. It's not used to just get a house or not used to just get out of a jam, but faith is used every day because that is the modus operandi of God. That is the way you have been designed to operate because you are made in His image, come on, and after His likeness, to function just like Him. So look what it says in John chapter 20. And look what it says in John 20, and this is starting at verse 19. "Then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst and said unto them, 'Peace be unto you.'" Now, Jesus had died. He told them, first of all, he was going to die. And then he said, "He'll be dead 3 days, and he'll rise again." Well, now, that didn't process in their minds. But here he has risen. Now he's appearing to his disciples. Now notice what happened. It says distinctly, the door being shut. So notice what's happening. Matter is not a boundary to faith. Glory to God. Look at verse 20. "And when he had so said, he showed unto them his hands and his side. Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord." Now, notice when they got glad. When he showed them physical evidence, they got glad then. Okay? They weren't glad before he showed this to them. You got what I'm saying? Now, let me ask you a question. Could God have destroyed the evidence of the nail-scarred hands?
Yes.
Yep. Did he?
Nope,
he didn't for a reason. Didn't for a reason. So I'm just letting you know that in this particular case, Jesus still has the holes in his hands. And there is a representative here that he has paid the price for you and me. Isn't that wonderful? And look what it says here in verse 21. And then said Jesus unto them, "Peace be unto you. As my Father has sent me, even so I send you." And when he had said this, He breathed on them and he said to them, receive ye the Holy Ghost. Glory to God. Whosoever sins you remit, they are remitted to them. And whosoever sins you retain, they are retained. All right, going down, verse 24. And that's a teaching there, but I'm not going to get into that tonight. Verse 24. But Thomas, one of the 12, called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. Now, Thomas, we call him Doubting Thomas. Have you ever heard that before? The other disciples, therefore, said unto him, we have seen the Lord. But he said unto them, except I see in his hands the print of nails, and put my finger into the print of nails, and thrust my hand into his side, I what? Will not believe. I want you to see that, because belief is a choice. Believing is a choice. And I'll tell you this, the same thing about faith. You have to first make a choice that you're going to believe God's word. You have to make that choice. And that's why I say it's always where two ways meet. You can either believe it or not. You got to make up your mind, I'm going to believe it. Now, I really believe when you make up your mind, you're going to believe the word of God. Something triggers your spirit man. In other words, something starts to go on there. Let's say this. Suppose I eat some food. And that food I eat now is digesting. Do I sit up and say, let me see where that food is right now. Let's see, that food. Let's see, get on down there. Now, I don't know what you eat. I'm talking about normal food that you eat. I'm not talking about some pizza about 12:30 at night. But I'm saying normal. Notice, once you swallow it, something just takes over. And a process starts. And I think it's the same way in believing. That you make up your mind, I'm going to believe God. I believe this. I think some kind of process begins to take over here. Then he said this, I will not believe. And after 8 days again, eight is always a sign of new beginnings. Again, his disciples were with him and Thomas with them. Then came Jesus, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst and said, peace be unto you. Now, I want you to see this because, well, I better not go that route. There's a lot of revelation in here. Okay, but the doors were shut. Here he comes again and appears in this place. Then he says, peace be unto you. Then said he to Thomas, reach hither thy finger and behold my hands. And reach hither thy hand and thrust it into my side. And be not what? Faithless, but believing. And Thomas answered and said to him, my Lord, my God. Jesus said unto him, Thomas, because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed. The ones that are going to experience the blessing are going to be the ones that have not seen me and yet they believe. Now, this is this MO that the idea about faith is that it is based on hearing the word of God. And this, it says that, glory to God, faith, Lord have mercy, I want to say something. Faith, when you, I don't want to get ahead of myself. So it's based on hearing. So let's go to another. I can use a contrasting example here, and you'll see what I'm talking about. Let's go to Romans and Romans chapter 4, please. Romans chapter 4. Romans chapter 4. Romans chapter 4. All right. Now in Romans chapter 4, I got to get this. This is good stuff, saints. Just hold on, because this is really good. Look what it says here in verse 17. As it is written, I made thee a father of many nations before him whom he believed, even God, who quickeneth the dead and calleth those things which be not as what? As though they were. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, keep going, the evidence of things not seen. How do you have evidence of something if it doesn't ever exist? Evidence is proof. How can I prove something and it's not true? How can I prove something and it doesn't exist? You can't. The reason faith is the substance of it and the evidence of it existing. But it doesn't exist in the temporal. It exists in the eternal, which is spirit, which is where it's got to exist before it comes into the natural. And your faith is the proof of it. Got it? Your faith is the proof that it all exists. When Jesus came and gave his life, he died, but before he did, he made out a will. And this will that he made out, we call the last will and testament. And this will covers everything that he would desire that we would inherit from him and what he paid for. So that's the will. And this is the will right here. Now, he is the only one that arose again to probate it. But he made it out. And everything that he planned for you to have is in this will. And it already exists. It's not something that's going to exist. What belongs to me is in this will. And you must remind yourself that it belongs to you. Once you find out what belongs to you, you now have to appropriate it, and that's done by faith. Faith is simply reaching out and taking that which already belongs to you. Now it's in here. What belongs to you in here? Everything. Now, if I come in here, and even in the Old Testament, folks, and don't be, the Bible says, you know, we have a better covenant. Look up that whole idea of better covenant in the Bible, in the Hebrew. And you'll see that it's talking about the good things that are in the Old Testament added to the good things that are in the New Testament. Okay? Now, you have to appropriate that because everything exists first in the kingdom in the spirit. So I have to take that spiritual commodity out of the eternal invisible realm, and the way that I take it out is by faith. Amen. So I've got to get faith. How does faith come? Hearing. Now, I've got to hear this, see, and through the hearing, my faith comes so that I can access what already belongs to me and bring it back into my life. Anything according to life and godliness, he has already given you. And if it's not in here, you don't need it. So God is a spirit. He created all material things. Now, he, the Spirit, is more real and more powerful than the physical things that he created. So faith is taking whatever belongs to me that he has promised to me and bringing it in to this three-dimensional world. You have that, don't you? I want to make sure that you get this. Now, watch this. He said he calls things that be not as though they were. Now, why does he do that? Why does he call things that be not as though they were? Because it's already there. He's not saying it's going to be there. Because if he says that, he is not in faith. He has gotten in time. And time can't deliver to you these goods. Only faith can deliver them to you. So you have to speak out of time. You have to say it is when you don't physically have it. Are you following what I'm saying? Now, this is the way faith works. It's your MO. And you have got to speak things and watch this, not be ashamed of saying it. Now this is Abraham's life. Let's look at the next verse here. Verse 18. Who against hope believed in hope that he might become the father of many nations, according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. And being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. Watch this. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in what? Faith, giving glory to God, being fully persuaded that what God had what? Promised. Keep going. He was able also to perform. Now, go back to verse 19. He considered not his own body now dead. So Abraham had nothing in the natural to prove to him that what God promised him was so, that he was going to have a child. He had nothing in the natural. Let's contrast that with the children of Israel coming out of Egypt. The 12 spies went out and brought them something in the natural. They brought them fruit and showed it to them that the land is there. But that fruit, physical thing, convinced them. Nope, it didn't. Because faith comes by hearing. It comes by hearing. I'm telling you. I'm just saying, God, you can see things, but he's got a law out there. That faith comes how? By hearing. And what? Hearing by the word of God. That's why he says in Mark 4, take heed what you hear. Because you can get negative faith. Let me give you an example. Now, I'm going to say this, and I'm saying this at my own risk, because I'm not trying to lose your friendship. But I'm going to say this. There are some songs in churches that are embalmed with unbelief. I'm going to say one. Now, I might get your favorite bumper sticker here, so just hold on and put your rock down. This song is about, please don't pass me by. Anybody knows how it starts off? How does it start off? Pass me not, O gentle Savior. Now all that sounds sincere, doesn't it? Hear, come on, my humble cry. While on others thou art calling, do not pass me by.
Hallelujah.
All right. Now, wait a minute. I'm only telling you that once you come into this kind of lifestyle, you have to guard your ear gate. That's one of the most important gates because it's coming in there. Pass me not, O gentle Savior. Now, here's what Jesus said. Jesus said, I will never leave you. Come on, come on. Or forsake you. Didn't he say that? Matter of fact, if you put Psalm 139 on the board there, Psalm 139, and let's go all the way down to, and I'm kind of drawing on my memory now. Let's go all the way down to verse 7, I think it is. All right. Verse 7. This is David. Where do I go from your spirit? Whether shall I flee from your presence? Watch this. Keep going. If I ascend up into heaven, come on, you're there. Keep going. If I make, if I make my bed, come on, in hell, behold, come on, you're there. So he's not passing you by. Wherever you go, he is. Am I right about it? So what I'm saying is, while on others, thou art calling. Now, he's no respecter of persons. But he's calling on other folk, and that means he's not calling on me. So he's going to pass me by and go call on somebody else. Now, this is unbelief. But it's unbelief in music. And that's why you're seeing more songs today being word-based songs. Before you pull out hymnal 532 and be embalmed for about 4 minutes with some unbelief. Now, listen, I have nothing against people because I went to a church and that's what they knew. But that's why the church didn't go any further. So now what's going to happen is you're going to have to take the word of God and let that word be rightly divided and let that word be what you will listen to and believe rather than what your emotions might tell you. Because I know some songs that'll make you cry, brothers and sisters. They'll make you cry, and it's the biggest lie that you ever could hear. Yeah. So I know some of you never heard that song I talk about. It might be a song, I'm climbing up the rough side of the mountain. Whatever it is, see, I can speak to the mountain and command it to be removed. Now, very subtly have these things come in, and we have been trained in it because subliminally they have programmed our thinking. So one of the hardest people sometimes to work with is saints that's been in the way. Y'all know what I mean by in the way? Okay. You can get people off the street who know nothing about God, look like their faith will jump in just like that. But these other folk, you got to prove to them that what they know is not right. And that, you got to bring a lunch for that job, brother. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Come on over to another place. Come on over to, if you will, come on over to Luke chapter 5. No. Luke chapter, James chapter 4. Let's go to James chapter 4. James chapter 4. Now, did God promise you peace? Yep. Now, how do you access it? You have to get it by faith. You have to get it by faith because it's right there for you. Look what it says here in James chapter 4 and verse 7. Resist the devil and he will what? Flee from you. Is that what that says? Now, wait a minute. Wait a minute. I left off something. I left off something. It says first you've got to what? You've got to submit to the word of God. Then you resist the devil, and what will he do? He will flee. Did it say he might flee? No, it didn't say he might flee because he's programmed to flee. He's programmed for it. If you follow the instructions, he flees. The problem is people are trying to get the devil off their back and fussing with their mate. And you can't do that. You're not submitting yourself to God. You can't be all full of all kinds of hatred or whatever have you and then get the devil off. You haven't submitted yourself. You got to come under the word of God. The Bible says, settle it. You know, said if you know, whatever it is. And I'm just saying sometimes people just read part of the verse and go for it and wonder why the devil is still after them. And that's all you hear. They come up and give testimony. All you hear is what the devil is doing. And I understand that, but we're going to get out of that. We're going to have you to prosper. Say amen to that. All right, let's finish that in Romans chapter 4. Turn back there again, please. Romans chapter 4. Oh, glory to God. All right, Romans chapter 4. Okay. In Romans chapter 4, he said, and I want you to see this, verse 13. For the promise that he should be the heir of the world was not to Abraham or to his seed through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. Coming down to verse 16. Therefore, it is of faith that it might be by grace, to the end the promise might be sure to all the seed. All right, let me see how I can do this. I shared with you before that everything starts in the Spirit. Say that with me. Everything starts in the Spirit. All right? When God created this world, the world was first unseen in the mind of God. And God spoke this world into existence. Then I said to you, everything that is material has its origin in the Spirit. Everything that is material has its origin in the Spirit. Say that with me. Everything that is material has its origin in the Spirit. And one more thing I said. Material things are dependent upon spiritual things for their existence. Material things are dependent upon spiritual things for their existence. One more time. Say it with me. Material things are dependent upon spiritual things for their existence. Oh, boy. Now, I'm kind of skipping around here because I'm trying to do this in the length of time that we had. If I'm going to get something from God, it's going to have to first exist. If it doesn't exist, forget it. When I say that, I mean all that he's going to ever do for you, he's already done. So forget it, trying to get God to think of something he didn't do yet. He's already thought of it. Say amen to that. And what we took you to last time, we showed you where a tree dried up from the roots. Didn't we show you that? We said that the roots represent what you cannot see. Got it? However, you can operate in that realm. And faith accesses that realm. Oh, Jesus, come on, William. I want to go somewhere, but I don't know whether I want to go there or not. This thing is bothering me. All right, let's take Abraham, for example. Let's just deal with him, because this is what I want to get to you. Is that you have nothing in the natural that can tell you whether what you're believing is true except faith. And faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of something you cannot see. So everything there is already yours. And you access it by faith. Now, faith is like money. The more you have, the more you can do. And you and I have to do things in this earth for God. And sometimes the church is trying to do it without faith. And you can't go but so far because the enemy rules in that domain. So you're going to have faith somewhere to make that happen. And what we did is we talked about Abraham's life. The Bible says that Abraham was not weak in faith because he considered not his own body. And when God speaks a word to you, you can't consider your circumstances because if you do, it'll pull you away from faith. I was playing tennis the other day and the lady said, I was looking at a tennis program. And the lady said, we saw where you had, stay with me now. We saw where you were down 4 games. What was going through your mind when you were down 4 games? She said, was I down 4 games? Notice, she didn't even know it. Because she was in the moment. And she says she plays one point after the other. And let the chips fall where they may. So she, the one thing that holds you back in a lot of those sports is thinking about your past. And thinking about that distracts you from being successful right here and now. Are y'all following what I'm saying? Turn to one more place. Ephesians chapter 3, please. All right, now, I'm just going to let it go. Ephesians chapter 1, not Ephesians chapter 3. Verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. What has he done? He has blessed us. With what? All spiritual blessings. Where are they? They're in Christ. All right. Now they're already done. They're in the Spirit. Now, the origin of everything is in the Spirit, but you and I have to receive them into this natural realm because of where God is taking us into our destiny. So we're going to have to receive something from God when we go to do that. You're going and you're in a battle. What does it say about you winning a battle that you're in, glory to God, in this earth as a believer? He always calls you to triumph, all right? How are you going to get that? You're going to have to get it by faith. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. You're going to have to get it by faith because we're not going to lose, folks. I said, we're not going to lose. Look what he says in verse 57 of 1 Corinthians. I'm almost done. Just hold on, please. I'm trying to get this one point across. And boy, let me tell you, I got to get in the Spirit to get it done. Look at verse 57. But thanks be to who? God, which giveth us, keep going, the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, who gives you the victory? God. Do you think God knew that you were going to have the battle?
Yes.
What did he say about the battle? He's already given you the victory. Now, how do you access your victory for that particular day? You got to do it by faith. You got to do it by faith. You got to believe that you received the victory right in the middle of look like you're losing the battle. You've got to, let's go to Mark. Mark chapter 11, verse 24. Let's just finish up there. Mark 11, verse 24. You got it. I said, you've got it. Now this, the more you get out of the sense realm, watch this, and into the spirit realm, the easier it will be to walk by faith. I'll say it again. The more you get out of the sense realm and into the spirit realm, the easier it'll be to walk by faith. You need to get to the place where you don't need to feel anything. You need to get to the place where you don't need to feel anything. You just take God at His word. So now, all of a sudden, I can't feel it. But I know it's there because He's given me all things according to life and godliness, or according to spiritual blessing. And it's in the will. So if I can find it in the will, it's mine. I mean, I'm expanding my faith. So now I'm at Deuteronomy 6, where He says He's given me cities that I didn't build. Say amen to that. So now, hey, wait a minute. It should be that the faith could grow to the point that it can shift the spiritual climate in an entire city.
Yes, sir.
Say amen to this.
Amen.
I'm saying people have done that, Charles Finney, people who went to cities and they went and prayed. He prayed with another guy named Dad, somebody, and they went and prayed, and they would pray in that city, and the spiritual climate would shift to the point that 50-mile radius in that city, bars would close, people would fall over their tools and so forth when they're in plants. They'd fall over and start crying, talking about they want to be saved. They would have, it would just be a whole shift. Lies would be exposed, all kinds of stuff, because the atmosphere shifted. Because a man was walking by faith. What did I tell you to turn now? All right, this is Mark 11 now. This is Jesus cursing a tree. He spoke to that tree, then He left. Now, the one thing that Jesus did is He got your saying back. He got your ability to speak things back that Adam had lost. And Jesus got it back. Now He is demonstrating. He spoke to a tree. You're going to hear this. You're going to hear this before you leave here. Because see, when you get offended, you ain't ready for faith. I'm going to have to say what I got to say here. Because you're still dealing emotionally. And all the enemy's got to do is just send somebody to you and say something you don't like. And you out of faith. You over there in the sense realm. And a victim. And what you need to do is be victorious. You need to stay right over there. It should be that those things don't bother you, because that's not your thinking. You're not focused on that. You don't care. Your circumstances don't affect the way you feel. What affects you is the Word of God. Abraham had nothing in his environment to hold on to but the word.
Yes,
he had nothing. He had nothing. His body was beyond childbearing, so his wife had never had children, but he considered not his body. He considered nothing but the word of God.
Yes,
and I'm telling you, that lady said, "Was I down 4 games? Why? She didn't consider how many games she had lost. She didn't consider how many games she had won. She only considered what game she was playing.
Right.
And I'm telling you, that's faith. Now, I'm only saying that because everybody in here has that MO. You have the ability to walk in that kind of faith. What will that faith do for you? Oh, yes, that faith will get you healed, but that faith will also get you whatever is left you in the will, watch this, without you having to struggle for it. It is yours already. Listen, if the house is mine, I don't have to work for it. I'm going to say it. I'm going to let it out. You can fight with me later. If the healing is mine, I don't have to pay for it.
Yes, sir.
Say amen to that. If peace is mine, why am I getting nervous and all shook up and can't sleep at night? I need to go to sleep because peace is mine. Say amen to that. And if I've got to go to my destiny and I got a fight on my hands, that victory is mine. Matter of fact, I got something tomorrow I got to do, and I'm claiming right now, and you're going to stand in agreement with me, that victory is mine. Victory is mine. Now, understand, it might look bad, but that is what the circumstances do. I'm considering not that. I'm considering he always causes me to triumph. I am more than a conqueror. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers them out of them all. And I've got to say it. I've got to decree it, because the angels are waiting on my words and waiting on, and God is looking at my faith. Now that's you as well. And you don't need to be broke not one more night. I'm telling you, get your mouth to work first. Get in that word and decide, I'm going to believe God. He said that Jesus was rich, became poor, that I through his poverty might be rich. So if he said I'm rich, I'm going to be rich. If he said I'm a seed of Abraham, I'm a seed of Abraham. If he said that I can go into life with a jubilee and don't have to owe anybody anything, where are those debts? Right now, I'm speaking to you, and I command you to be paid off. And work it, and work it, and work it, and don't be ashamed of it. And that's what we've got to do, folks. I'm telling you, we can work this thing so that you and I can expand the kingdom, grow the business of the kingdom of God. Say amen to that. I know we can put all our faith together. If one person's got the faith to do this with, what can we do with 20,000 putting their faith together? Say amen to that. And we're our brother's keeper. We're all in this together. Say amen to that. Stop looking at where he came from and who he is and how much money she got. Why don't you look at the word of God? Look to Jesus. He's the author and finisher of our faith. You stir up your faith. Get your MO working. Let the devil know that you're going to start saying some things, and resist the devil and he will flee from you.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Now this is your time and you are going to come out on top. I'm decreeing it right now. You are coming out on top. You're going to be a winner. You are not going to be defeated. I'm speaking faith into your spirit right now because I'm speaking the word of God. Say amen to this. Now stir up your faith. Praise God in heaven. Stir it up. That's your MO. Stir it up. You start speaking the things starting tonight. You put that pocketbook on that kitchen table and decree something. I went down to Tuskegee and preached this weekend, and a lady, I said, could I use your amplified, please? She said, yeah. The crowd of people there, and the lady had an amplified. I took it, and I read in it, and then God said, put a $100 bill in it before you give it back to her. I went in my pocket, got a $100 bill, put it in there. I said, thank you. I said, you helped the prophet out. Here, you got a prophet's reward right here. She took that and sold it into the offering. And I got a call today. She got in her bank account, they did the audit trying to find out where it came from, $9,000 showed up in her bank account. I'm here to tell you, listen, it wasn't a mistake. It's God. We're living in a time right now that if you just use your faith just a little bit, He's going to show you that faith is the victory that overcometh the world. Give the Lord a praise. That's all we've got right now. It's time for some miracles in the church. See, it's only so much explaining you can do with this. Sometimes you're going to have to stop explaining and just start shouting it out. You're going to have to just decree what the Lord has said. But you make up your mind tonight, your M.O. is faith. I said your M.O. is faith. Thank you, Jesus. Yep, I got a call today. They tried to check it out, the audit and everything. $9,000 was placed in her bank account. You know, the first thing you think, maybe they made a mistake. No, they said they didn't make a mistake. That's where it's supposed to be. The Lord will not only put money in your account, but give the bank an audit trail that they'll see it's not a mistake. See, somehow the church many times has seemingly kind of left God out of the program. And we need to put the God factor back in everything we do. Faith is not just some kind of parachute. Faith is our MO. It's the way we operate. It's our lifestyle. The just shall live by faith. I'm saying don't try faith after everything else has failed. Start with faith. Stay with faith. And end with faith. Folks, the way we got here is by faith. By faith. And I want you to just stir it up starting tonight. And now I'm not going to let faith sleep. I'm going to stir faith up. Because faith can do the impossible. Isn't that wonderful? If you're here tonight and God has spoken to your heart about being born again, this is your time. And I'm asking you to consider right now where you stand with Jesus. Because he said that...